Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's great to be here in Southern California. Southern California is where the word dude comes from. A bunch of word dude develop over the years. It's turned into a word kind of like the Polynesian word aloha. You know, it has more than just one meaning. You can use it to say hello to people. Dude.
Especially when you don't know their first name. Dude.
It's also used to mean listen or come here. Dude. But its most important meaning, though, most important is you blew it. Dude. It can also mean, are you in the closet with a knife? Dude?
Dude, let's talk, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. How are you doing, Gen Z person? I think that's your proper title. How you doing? How you balancing life? Are you stuck or are you progressing and advancing? Are you lonely or do you feel like you're a part of a community? Well, if the survey says is accurate, you're struggling because you don't feel a part of anything. And if you're thinking to yourself, self, this conversation ain't got nothing to do with me, I would say two things. Number one, ain't is not proper grammarly. Number two, yes, it does. Because we have young people in our churches, not as many as we used to, but we still have young people in our churches. And the question that the church should ask and answer is, how are we doing with involving and engaging young people, men and women? Hey, wait a second. There's a chapter in the Bible that talks about that necessity. Titus chapter 2, old men, young men, older women, younger women. The older teaching the younger. Why? Presumably they know more. And I'm talking about them like they're a different demographic than myself. They have learned stuff and they should be downloading it. But in many churches, we followed the pattern of, I would say, 20th century education. And we've just turned everything into a demographic. The seniors meet with them, the young marrieds meet, the young unmarrieds get together, the eighth graders, you've got yourself those with young children group, and we just, no, and I'm not saying, by the way, that all those things are necessarily bad. I am saying that they have, however, separated us. And I don't think that's the biblical pattern. Now, I don't make a law out of that. I've got no issue with a church organizing itself that way. We do that to a degree at alpharettabiblechurch.org. But do we do anything that mixes and mingles? Do we do anything that brings older and younger together? This is from the Wall Street Journal. America's young men are falling even further behind. And there were a number of quotes, a number of observations made in this article that I think are instructive for young and old alike. If you're young, does this describe you? If you're old, who do you know that you could help? Because I think the church has a massive opportunity right now. Was just reading another study, probably by Lifeway, that pornography is causing so many problems inside of the church. This is from Christian Post, this is from Family Studies. Frequent porn use leads to depression, loneliness among young Americans, says a survey. Well, of course it does, because you aren't communicating with somebody of the opposite gender. And if you're not familiar with what the opposite gender is, I encourage you to read Genesis chapter 2. It's all right there. And you're staying at home. You're locked up. You don't need a boy or a girl. You got pornography. And I said boy or girl because an increasing number of girls are consuming pornography also. And it has consequences. It has effects. It separates. It detaches. And it doesn't call you up. You want to win a woman because you would like to enjoy the pleasures that God has provided in the context of one man, one woman, and a lifelong covenantal relationship. That's going to cause you to be a better dude. You're going to act better. You're going to show her, hey, I'm a worthy man. And you're going to show that to her parents. It's going to elevate you. But if you got pornography, you don't need to present yourself. What day is today? I don't need to shower today. I'm not seeing anybody today. Don't need to exercise. Don't need to participate in activities. Don't need to show off on the football field. It causes problems. And it is being reflected in all of these statistics that say young men are feeling lonely. And I think the church needs to ask the question, well, are we helping them? This is from this article in the Wall Street Journal from the president of the American Institute for Boys and Men. I think that was a group in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
Institute for Boys and Men. The sense a lot of young men have is not being sure that they are needed or that they're going to be needed by their families. What? By their communities or by society? I wonder if this is not another fruit of helicopter parenting. We get everything out of the way of the kid. We do everything. We buy him everything. We don't make him do any work. We certainly don't make them do chores. And what might be a rotten fruit from that unbiblical form of parenting? Kid doesn't feel needed. If the kid is not called upon to do anything, how would you feel if at work nobody ever asked you to do anything? Just sit in your cubicle and play a game. You'd be like, I don't think I'm needed here. I wonder if we aren't perhaps teaching our kids that by doing too much for our kids. I get it. When I grew up, I had to. We've all swapped those stories. I remember when I was 12, 13. I was just kicked out of the house and told to go get a job. This is what you do. You walk up and down that street and you stop at every place that has an open sign and you give them an application. Get a job. I think you have to be 14 in order to work. Lie. Go to work. So we got those stories. And I won't regale you with the fact that my first job was cleaning a meat market. Wouldn't tell you those stories of the blood and guts that I waded in, even though I was wearing waders. It ain't a pretty sort of sight. Won't do that to you because we've all got those stories. And we want our kids to maybe experience something less. Ugh. But I don't think that's doing them a favor. They don't feel needed in a family that doesn't, well, need them, nor in their communities, nor in society. What are we doing in our churches to let young people know, we need you. We need you for many things. We need your enthusiasm. We need your joy and your energy. Yeah, sometimes we need your backs. That ain't a lowly thing to do work like that. We need your back because ours ain't working as good as they used to. Although, thank you for asking. My lower back is better, Jimmy. Oh, but my left hip. Oh, what they did to... The human body, I'm telling you, I don't know why how a chiropractor can be an unbeliever. When you see how this thing all goes together, it's crazy. So my hips got balanced. Friel, we couldn't possibly care less. Hey, excuse me, I do believe the Bible says we are to bear one another's chiropractic burdens. It's in there. They pulled the leg to make the hips balance, so the lower back thing doesn't feel like I have a dagger going through my spine. But now my left hip, hoy, it... Oh, so we need your lower back. We need your muscle. We need to pour something into you. And that is experience and wisdom and knowledge. There's more of it on one end of the spectrum than the other. And older people would love to pour it in you. May I ask you a question? If you're young, do you want to be poured into? That should make you feel needed. Do you know why we want to do that? It's because we want you to be wise. We don't want you to experience stuff that we perhaps stumbled and made a mess of. And we want you to advance fast so that you can quickly become a young leader in the church. You can, not if you're a knucklehead, but if you've been getting discipled by somebody who's older, then you can step into more roles of responsibility. You don't get it right out of the gate. I don't care what TikTok tells you. You don't get the corner office immediately in the workplace or at church. That needs to be earned. Let older people help you with that. Young men are lonely. 18 to 30 year olds spent 18% more time alone last year. Whoa. 22% more alone time than reported by women in the same age range. So I don't know, guys, what's locking you up in your room except games and pornography. Could I encourage you to ditch them to do something more important and not sinful? Do something loftier. I mean it. Find an old person in your church. Find the one that you find like the most, okay, I think I could get along with that dude. And you go up to that person that's older with gray hair. And you ask them, hey, would you teach me stuff? I can tell you what you're not going to hear. Scram, Pally boy, I ain't got time for punks like you. You're not going to hear it. You're going to hear them excited. Nobody, this is 18 to 30 year olds, two-thirds says nobody knew them well. A quarter of 18 to 30 year olds said they hadn't seen anyone outside of their home in the past week. Whew. That ain't healthy for you. That ain't good. And if you're young and you have not been told, I'm going to tell you right now, get out of your house, go to your local church, find somebody wise, let them disciple you because you are needed. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Some people call it Halloween, others of us call it Reformation Day, but later this month, countless children will be knocking on our doors all over this country. You don't have to turn the porch light off and say, I don't celebrate this day. No, you can seize the opportunity with us here at Fortis Institute. This year, we're offering you a powerful way to engage. For a limited time, you can receive up to 50 copies of The Man Who Split Time, absolutely free. You just cover the shipping charge. Imagine as children come to your door, you can answer and offer them not just treats, but also the greatest gift of all. That's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each booklet is a chance to plant seeds of faith in young hearts and young minds. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/Halloween to claim your free booklets right now. You just cover the shipping charge. Don't miss this opportunity to shine the light of the gospel on Reformation Day. Order your copies right now at fortisinstitute.org/Halloween.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This story is more than an It should be your goal. This is Wretched Radio. As we've all been watching the devastation in Appalachia, this story certainly caught everybody's attention, at least it should. Beech Island, South Carolina. Grandparents. Marsha, 74. Jerry, 78. Were found dead in their bedroom, in their bed, underneath a fallen tree, hugging one another. That's more than an awe. That's what you're after, young person. That's what you're after. This is the stuff of life right here. This is the type of life that had meaning. Now, nobody, except for this tragic ending, would have known Marsha and Jerry. They were just going about their business, doing what? Being married for decades, dying in one another's arms. As the storm raged about them, their grandson said, there was a loud boom. All you could see was ceiling and tree. They were found hugging one another, adding, they believe it was God's plan to take them together. Indeed, it was. Rather than one suffer without the other. Yep, because God is the one who determines that last breath for each of us. But this particular couple, modeling quietly, what brings, this is the stuff of life. That you're married to one, that you want to die with one person. And as you are, when you are in a hurricane and you don't know what the options are, but to snuggle in your bed with one another and hold on tight, and you both die instantly because a tree fell on you. That's what you're after. This is what we should be striving for. And I know the world, they've got billboards offering cheap divorces. That's not the stuff of legend. That's not the stuff that's transcendent. That's not the stuff that people remember. This couple, that's what you're after. That is the goal. And if you're not striving for that goal, I encourage you, if you are young, you need some rewiring of your thinking. And there's a place where you can find that in your local church. And I got to tell you, I see young men in our church. They're starting to develop the stuff. I get to watch them. They're teenagers, young men. They're developing the stuff. They're doing things. For instance, I don't know if I mentioned this. I was so pleased to see a young man show up at Bible study. We're working through The Hole in Your Holiness. It's a Kevin DeYoung book. It's really, really helpful book. Theologically balanced, because wow, you sure can go to a ditch when you talk about the subject of holiness. It can become very legalistic very quickly, but he doesn't do that. He's simply encouraging us to be what we already are, and that is holy. And he's probably 18. Came into the Bible study, sat with his parents. Okay, stop right there. There's two things right there. 18-year-old comes to Bible study on a weeknight, had options, came to a Bible study. That's a dude. That's a young man. He's starting to develop the stuff. And then he did something crazy. Sat with his parents. How humiliating, how embarrassing to be with those people that TikTok says are just stupid. And he sat with his parents. And then something extraordinary happened. Eric, and by the way, you need to meet Eric, who is teaching our weeknight Bible study, because if you've ever wondered about the legend of George Whitefield and his booming voice, able to preach to 10, 15,000 people, and apparently the person in the back row could hear it as clearly as the person in the front row, and you say, nobody can talk like that. You need to meet Eric. I kid you not. Last week, I came into Bible study, and he called it to attention, and my back was turned, and I literally, so he barks, we're going to start at 11. No, he was at like a 13, and I literally turned like, like we were being assaulted or attacked. And I went, Eric, what do you, stop that. It was just this massive booming voice, just echoes throughout, doesn't need a microphone, fills up the entire room. And this young man sitting with his parents volunteered to read the Bible. You think that's nothing if you're young. That young man blessed everybody in that room that was older. Everybody was blessed by him. You know why? Because it was another witness. It was another testimony. It was another proclamation that Jesus Christ is alive. He is well, and he is working in the lives of teenagers. It was so encouraging. And I thought, that dude's on his way right there. That dude is on his way because he's doing the things that make you an adult, that are bigger, that are deeper, that are more profound. And I get to see that when these young people hang out with their parents, I saw something so, see, you think that you're a Gen Zer and you maybe think this is totally weird. I'm telling you, this is the stuff. I know, I even know who it was, so I'm not going to mention their names. It was Joni and Hadley in the church. And we were standing around talking because that's what we tend to do. After church and Bible study, we stand around and talk a lot, which isn't helpful for my left hip. Have I told you what my left hip is doing these days? It's killing me. And she maybe turned 16. She leaned into her mother, standing up, leaned into her, put her head on her shoulder. Man, she has no idea what she did. For me, just watching it, I went, oh. A young person who still loves mom, who still feels good when she leans into her mother and puts her head on her shoulder and isn't embarrassed by it, didn't have a single concern that somebody might see and go, what are you doing with your mother? Why would you do that? She's grody, which I think is the term that's coming back into play these days. Grody. I don't think I've said that word in decades. She's grody. Why are you looking at me? I didn't use that word in Tennessee?
Never heard that word until
grody?
Until today.
You have so much to learn. Let me teach you.
Okay.
Jimmy, young person. It was so delightful to look at. Look at the small ways that you can bless. Because what we see is a child who is not letting the world tell her how to behave. Oh, that's encouraging. Furthermore, we see that young man, we see that young lady, and we go, okay, the Lord's raising them up. They're going to be running this church someday. They're going to be leading. They're going to be contributing. They're going to be serving. They're going to be helping. And Jesus Christ Church is going to continue to expand. An article from the Christian Post. Churches can offer hope to people seeking freedom for pornography. There's another area where we can help young men and young women. A recent study found pornography has continued to rise over the past decade. There's a shocker, including those who identify as Christians. Oh boy. The rise in porn has been fueled by the shift to daily life online during the pandemic. Honestly, if I hear the pandemic is blamed one more time, apparently the pandemic has increased loneliness, anxiety, and depression, the spread of sexualized content on social media, and growing cultural acceptance. So with that, 84% of users say they don't have anyone in their lives to help them avoid it. 84%. Paging the church. Nearly 4 out of every 5 men and 2 out of every 5 women admitted to viewing pornography. Most of the others are lying. Now, here's the deceitfulness of sin. We've been talking about that subject because Brad Bigney, I thought, was excellent. All the guys were. But when he said this, it was excellent. He was asked about the deceitfulness of sin, how a pastor who can be theologically sound takes a header. And he said, it's the deceitfulness of sin. You can't identify it. You can't. That's what makes it deceitful. You don't know what's happening to you. You don't even realize that it's happening, which is why you need your spouse to help. You need your kids to help you. You need your parents to help you. You need your co-laborers to help you. And you need your church to help you. Listen to the deceitfulness of sin. Among married couples, 1 in 5 adults reported using pornography at least weekly. Huh. Nearly 1/3, 1 in 3 said their spouse or partner used it regularly. Christians were not exempt. What? And then here comes the kicker right here. 66% agree a person can regularly view pornography and lead a sexually healthy life. 48% of practicing Christians agreed with the 60% of U.S. adults who said that viewing porn can improve a person's sex life. Lies! Deception! That's the deceitfulness of sin. It's a plague. Pornography is a plague. And most young men and too many young women, they got the disease. Do you know who can help them find the cure? Older people in the church so that they can develop the stuff of life. Not squander it on pornography and trite things. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Our top story today comes from Toyota, where they're putting the brakes on their DEI initiatives. As it turns out, they're going to narrow their focus on STEM education and workforce readiness. And this isn't the first major corporation we have talked about that's backed away from this whole woke parade. Could the tide be turning and major corporations finally remembering who actually buys their products? Well, only time will tell. And in news that will shock absolutely no one, a BLM leader has been exposed as a money laundering fraud. The twist? Well, the Biden DOJ actually sentenced the guy to prison. Can you believe it? Sir Major Page is his name. He's from Georgia. He got 42 months for defrauding donors of more than $450,000. Looks like he misunderstood BLM to stand for Buy Large Mansions. Now turning to Pennsylvania, where Governor Josh Shapiro used public funds to train liberal social media influencers on how to get their audience to vote. They called it Democracy Summer Camp, but it sounds more like taxpayer-funded Democrat boot camp. When did influencing elections actually become government-sponsored activity? And to the state of Florida now, where the ACLU had attempted to silence Governor Ron DeSantis and the state health agency about Amendment 4, that extreme abortion amendment. But the Second Judicial Circuit Court said, not so fast. Turns out the First Amendment still applies. You know, we're fans of the First Amendment around here. The Washington Commanders have been trying to paint NFL legend Vince Lombardi as an LGBTQ ally. Seems like they're reaching pretty far to get some woke points. Maybe they should take a cue from Toyota and back away from all of this and focus more on football and less on rewriting history. But I digress. A New Jersey man has been facing charges for calling 911. Why? Well, over a scented candle. Yeah. He thought someone lighting a candle was a criminal offense. But if you've actually had to smell some of these candles, you'd understand why. But folks, if that doesn't sum up the state of our society, I'm not real sure what does. Finally, let's end on some good news. Today, quick-thinking Chick-fil-A workers in New Jersey have been credited with saving a six-year-old girl after spotting multiple red flags with a drunk driver in the drive-thru. The employees noticed the smell of alcohol, saw open containers, and cleverly stalled the driver until police arrived. And that's a reminder for all of us. A little attentiveness can go a long way. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. And if you want more, don't forget to download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider. For more exclusive content, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1559. John Knox returns to Scotland to lead Reformation there after a period of exile in Calvin's Geneva. Knox founded the Presbyterian Church, which became a driving force in English politics and the American Revolution. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dude, the shame! The shame! This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy. Publicize my shame, because that, after all, is what we do in evangelical Christianity.
That's exactly right.
You make a mistake, you better hope nobody hears about it on the internet, or they're gonna do the church a favor.
That's right.
And let everybody know about it. So what's my shame, Jimmy?
You forgot to mention Way of Manhood.
dude, how could I forget? If you're not listening to Way of Manhood, if you are a man, you should listen to Dr. Adam Tyson. You can find it wherever you stream, Spotify, Google, and such. Or you can simply visit FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. You can download our app, by the way. It's the Fortis Plus. You can either use the plus sign or spell out P-L-U-S. All of the podcasts are free. We're becoming a podcast mecca. Why do I not like that word? I'm never going to use the word podcast again. We're just a mecca is what we are, where people visit once a year, apparently. No, that isn't right. We hope that weekly you will listen to Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood. We have three new podcasts. Been getting great reviews, all of them, because they're so excellent. John Kratz, Integrated, Brad Bigney, Thrive. And of course, we got the old man, Greg Gifford. He's an old man. Turning 39, I think. Oh, he's agitating. He's so advanced for his years. And Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood. Start listening. It'll shape you. It will mold you. It will help you. And it's free. Everything there is free. Okay, I think we've got some resources that we've got stored at Fortis Plus so that the people who have them can stream them and all that jazz. We had hundreds of hours of free stuff. It is not a subscription model. So please visit FortisPlus.org. And now my shame is over. And I actually have some really good news. Would you like to hear some good news? Well, actually, you've been doing good news, haven't you? You've been ending your Fortis news.
Oh, yeah.
With something like just a reminder that everything we get bombarded by, it's not all that.
Right.
And I see that on so many Christian websites, it's just one bad thing after another. And it's like, oh, everything is just, oh, it's horrible. Well, it's not. The church is marching on. The kingdom is expanding. There are pastors, hundreds of thousands of pastors, who didn't fall today. They didn't stumble. No scandal. They faithfully served. They went about the business of feeding the sheep, tending and protecting the sheep. No scandal. And we need to know that. We need to remember that. Not everything involves the sky falling on evangelical Christianity or on America for that matter. So here is my version of Jimmy's version of good news. Phil Johnson. You know Phil Johnson, of course. He's Mr. Grace to you. He's the voice that you hear. Anytime that you listen to John MacArthur preach, you hear an introduction from Phil Johnson. He also happens to be a board member here at Fortis Institute. And he's, well, let's just understate it. He's had some health issues lately, to say the least. And he's currently in the middle of, he's going to be receiving a bone marrow transplant. It's a form of cancer that he's dealing with. And so he's been going through treatments and they have been a beating. And once he is cancer free, then they do the bone marrow transplant. And the doctors tell him, yeah, you'll get a decade out of this, which we want because we want Phil Johnson around preaching. And that is exactly what he did last week. Phil Johnson returned to church and he met with his small group, which is anything but small. It's like 500-600 people. To call it a small group is kind of like saying evangelicals for Harris. It ain't small at all is what I'm trying to tell you. And I have a little snippet for you. And I'm just cued it up to the middle. His voice is strong. His writing is still exquisite. So I thought you might enjoy hearing a little bit from Phil Johnson.
He's having a fruitful ministry in Ephesus, but he made that treacherous journey to Corinth because his love for that church was just so profound. He wanted to help them, even though it meant leaving what was a very fruitful ministry in Ephesus for a time. But evidently, as soon as Paul arrived in Corinth on that second visit, some person or some group of conspirators withstood him to his face. They insulted him. And worse, they had somehow managed to cow or browbeat or frighten the faithful Corinthians into silence because no one came to Paul's defense. And so he went back to Ephesus, telling them in the most fatherly tone ever, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone.
Ooh.
You know, I used to talk to my kids like that when they were little. If I have to come upstairs again, you're all going to get it. That's the tone. And then from Ephesus, it appears he wrote them in the third letter. He wrote them the third letter that we know of. And it's a letter that has not been preserved in the canon. This is known sometimes as the severe letter or the sorrowful letter, or sometimes it's called the tearful letter. Paul refers to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says he wrote this letter to them out of much affliction and anguish of heart with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but so that you might know the love which I have abundantly for you. He says, I'm being severe, but it's because I want to show you my paternal love for you. You need this correction. So this letter was full of fatherly displeasure, but it was written from a heart of deep affection with tears.
Phil Johnson, back in the pulpit, so glad to hear his voice. What a blessing medicine is, eh? God still does the healing, but he uses medicine to take care of us. And in this instance, it appears he's taking care of Phil, and Phil is progressing in his treatments, doing better, mounted the pulpit last Sunday and preached about Paul, his fatherly love for the Corinthians. You can hear all of... I'm sorry, I'm having a flashback to this morning. I was at a computer. That's the word I'm looking for. I was at a computer looking at a TV show that we did 5 years ago, 7 years ago. It was Phil Johnson. He offered four explanations for why Jesus healed the blind man from birth. The man was blind from birth. He healed him by grabbing some mud, spitting it, and putting it on his eyes. What is that all about? And I cited Phil Johnson, so I took my phone and I filmed the TV show because I said this was a sermon from Phil Johnson, and he's just the bomb diggity, and you can hear all of his sermons at Grace Life Pulpit. So I filmed it, sent it to him to encourage him. And he said, I'm sorry, my sermons are not bomb diggity. They're usually just bombs. They're not. Okay, let's see if I can remember the four explanations for why Jesus used mud to heal the blind man. Number one, it was a picture of the gospel. You say, what? Well, if I approached you with some mud that I had made from spittle to heal, to give you sight, you'd probably recoil if you knew what was coming at you. Blah. That's the gospel. The gospel is an offense. It's a scandalon. It is a grotesque picture of a savior who is beaten to a pulp hanging on a tree. You got to believe in that one. You've got to put your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want spiritual sight, that's how you find it. And so that was one explanation. Second was this was another Sabbath confrontation. He was doing work on the Sabbath. Oh boy. The third explanation, I'm going to fail my own quiz. The third explanation was, well, you can listen to it for your, I don't want to bore you with the details. Phil Johnson, he's the bomb diggity at Grace. I'm going to drive myself bonkers now. It was a Sabbath confrontation. It was a picture of the gospel. And it was kind of creation, kind of a picture. Using the dirt, fashioning it for men. So he's using the dirt to heal the one made of dirt. Three out of four ain't bad. These days, I think that would actually be considered a B+ in most public schools. So not bad if you don't mind. Phil Johnson, he's doing better, getting stronger. And the reason that he had to go to church, even though he maybe doesn't want anybody to know this, couldn't be around a lot of people, like within close proximity, 6 feet, social distancing. He had to be there. He had to be there. And if your pastor has never expressed that he feels the same way about you, I can assure you he does. Unless you got yourself a rotten pastor. You got yourself a good shepherd. I'm telling you, he loves you. He will risk getting sick to serve you. He will get out of a sick bed in order for you to be well. That is how a good shepherd feels about his sheep. Tending, caring, loving, sacrificing, risking, putting himself in danger. Phil Johnson, he's one of them there good shepherds. Welcome back to the pulpit, Phil. This is Wretched Radio. You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. And if you're anything like us, you feel the constant pressure to play catch up with today's rapid fire changes in this culture. We get it. And that's why Fortis Institute exists. Every day, we're bringing you content that will keep you grounded in biblical truth. Videos that dive into hot topics that are happening today. Podcasts covering everything from marriage and parenting to deep dives in theology. And of course, our webinars, which feature some of the sharpest Christian thinkers around. And the best part about it all, it's absolutely free, no strings attached. But here's the thing, we do need your help to keep this going. If you would prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting us, you're helping us equip believers. So why not get the information? You can do that right now at fortisinstitute.org and get answers to any questions you might have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. When Habakkuk saw violence and injustice in Judah, he complained to God. God promised to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. But Habakkuk complained that they were even worse than Judah. God said that he would punish the Chaldeans after using them to purify Judah. God uses all things for his glory and the good of his people, even evil things. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. Sang this on Sunday. Would like to sing it again this Sunday. This is Wretched Radio. That's a gem, ain't it? Sang it on Sunday at AlphaRetaBibleChurch.org. Because we were talking about Christ's kingdom, his church, used 120 times in the New Testament. First time it was used by Jesus himself, Matthew 16. After the profession of faith from the vicar of Christ, the Pope of Rome. No, actually we shared why he's not the Pope from Rome. And this week, we're going to be talking about why he and the bishops and the cardinals were not the ones given the keys of the kingdom, which is a Protestant doctrine that we just don't talk about much, do we? And I wish we would, because I think it would make congregants feel more a part of the local church. That's going to be my subject matter this Sunday, because Jesus said to Peter, singular, I will give to you the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom, singular, to you, Peter. You alone? Because there's no plural used, nor are there any succession plans for Peter being the first pope. Jesus was either just giving the keys to Peter and they ended with Peter, and that don't make no sense, or it was given to all of us. And that is what we call the kingdom of the keys, to bind and to loose, given to everybody in the church because of a doctrine called the priesthood of all believers. Ring a bell? Probably was if you were catechized in a Protestant denomination. This was a doctrine that the Reformers identified because it's all over the Bible. It's all over Hebrews, 1 Peter 2. That's in Revelation, a number of, you're a kingdom of priests. You're a royal priesthood. You. And while we can't say it's an office like elder or deacon, nevertheless, you serve functionally as a priest. Every single born-again believer is a priest. Don't think Roman Catholic. Think one who has direct access to God because of Jesus Christ. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need a man. You have the man Jesus Christ. You have access to God. That is what priests do. And that is what you are. And you too have been given the keys of the kingdom. Want more details? Well, either check out an old Protestant confirmation book or join us at AlphaRetaBibleChurch.org this Sunday, because the church, I think, I wish that members that they understood that the status of elder and deacon is not greater than the status of the priesthood of all believers. We're all priests. We all have the same status. We all have the same standing. There's just offices. There's just roles so that there's order and function. But that does not mean that the people who just come to church are just they're going to the worship service. No, they're priests, and they've been given the keys of the kingdom. And according to this here survey from, what do you know, Lifeway Research, a lot of evangelicals don't feel equipped to share their faith. Uh-oh. They don't know how to present the gospel. This particular poll, 35% of evangelicals said that they feel ready for most opportunities to share on cultural and hot button issues. The rest don't feel very equipped. I don't know who to point a finger at on that one. Could it be the church? Yeah. Could it be people who just aren't paying attention? Yeah. But everybody, hey, after all, you are a priest. You should be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. And you do not need to have a PhD in apologetics to share your faith. You do not need to have a master's degree in understanding cultural issues so that you can speak on these things. You're a priest. And that, by the way, is one of the authorities of the kingdom of the keys. It's binding and loosing forgiveness of sins, but it is also the proclamation of the gospel. And we're all commanded to do that, to go while going, make disciples. Let's go to the UK, shall we? Cool. That their Christian prince ain't doing a very good job there, because more people in the UK are atheists than profess faith in God. from Queen's University in Belfast. Jimmy, get you don't know Ludi, do you? He's outside of Dublin. Mm. Ludi Creech. Mm-hmm. He's pastoring a church in Dublin.
Okay.
Such a good brother. He was doing missionary work over there for years with his family. He was so evangelistic. He did the big red bus. Actually bought a double-decker bus. They're not as popular as you think they might be. And he brought it to where his mission headquarters was outside of Dublin. And he'd drive the bus into town and then do open-air preaching in front of it. He was actually trying to win people. So he segued out of that to start a church. And he's got about 80 to 100 folks showing up on Sunday. That ain't easy in Dublin. He's doing a great work there. The Queen's University Belfast, according to research from 2008 to 18, the number of Brits who don't believe in God rose 7 points. Oh boy. More atheists than those who profess faith in God, which dropped during the same period. Oh boy. Great Britain. What has happened to Great Britain? Oh, yeah. The Anglican Church has been derelict in its duties, succumbing to cultural pressure to conform to their image, to be watered down. And I would also suggest, I don't like this term because it takes a shot at any church that attempts to be liturgical, but it's such a formal liturgical system, it does feel kind of dead. Now, it shouldn't, because they're speaking truth. Go ahead. You walk into an Episcopal church where they got a rainbow flag outside, if they still have an old Episcopal hymnal, you are going to read great theology in the front of that thing. They don't adhere to it. They don't believe it. They may be spouted, but they don't believe it in their hearts. But it is profoundly rich and good. But it is so often, if it's presented in that way where it's just a droning, formulaic recitation of theological nuggets, it does feel kind of dead. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think that we shouldn't be liturgical. I do believe that we should. I think that there are just certain elements that the King of the Church regulates, and we should adhere to his regulations. But they don't need to be presented in a droning sort of tone as we now approach the throne. Ugh. That doesn't mean we should throw out lofty theology. Hey, that happened to be the sermon from this last Sunday. Exodus 19, sorry. Exodus 19, what does it say to the children of Israel? Follow my rules. You are to be a royal priesthood, kingdom of priests. Whoa. That's whoa. Now, they did not follow the covenants. That does not mean that God's plan for Israel has ended. It is not. Whatever that comeback looks like, it's going to happen. Romans chapter 9. And when we see Jews getting saved in the book of Revelation. So God's not done with them, but this new institution. Did you catch that, by the way, in this hymn? Listen for this theological truth. Okay, that's Matthew 16. The Catholic Church says, no, the church is built on Peter. No, Jesus was saying it's built on Peter's confession, which is Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. New creation. This church, this bride of Christ, is a new creation. And Jesus Christ is the one who's building it. And Jesus Christ is the one who gets to dictate terms. And now we ask ourselves the question, if we, 1 Peter 2, are that royal priesthood, just like the Jews were considered. Now, this happened to be from the third chapter of Kevin DeYoung's book, The Hole in Our Holiness. The Jewish people were to be a holy people who worshiped a holy God in a holy place with holy instruments. That was God's expectation. We're now that royal priesthood. Should our worship be cheesy and cornball and low and casual and dopey and amusing? And the answer to that question, I think, is self-evident. No, why would God want less from this group of royal priests than he wanted from the Jewish group of royal priests? And I think the answer to that question is he doesn't. That doesn't mean that we have to drone on and that you've got to wear the vestments of the Old Testament priests. But shouldn't we be offering our best to the head of the church, who clearly had rules that he regulated for the worship of the true and living God? Why would we want to offer less? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.